They just read for you the Declaration of Independence, 66 different people. Now, 6 months before that declaration was read in 1940, before the State of Israel was formed in 1948, 6 months earlier, we saw that vote, that partition at the United Nations. And we saw in the videos on that day, there was a day of great joy and jubilation, and people were dancing and celebrating in the streets, as you saw earlier. People young and old, male and female, danced throughout all the streets, the horror, and on their voices and their hearts came the words of the Hatikva, which we saw in the national anthem earlier that says, as long as deep within the Jewish heart is true, he longs and he yearns to have his land anew. As long as he has life, then nothing else will do. Eyes gazing eastward to Zion looks the Jew. Endless suffering, hoping through our tears. Homeless people for 2,000 years, longing for freedom in the land God promised us, looking to Zion and Jerusalem. For 19 centuries, the Jewish people had been dispersed away from their homeland. Out of the yearning to return to their land came the prayer that we recite every Passover, and we recited this last Passover, L'shana haba'ah b'Yerushalayim, next year in Jerusalem. And it's obvious that the Jewish people have longed for 2,000 years to return to their land that they were dispersed from. They held a heartfelt conviction that someday, not knowing when, but someday in the future, they would return from the diaspora, from the lands where they were dispersed, to their homeland. And they held on to the divine declarations and the divine promises that are found in the Holy Scriptures. They recalled the words of the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 36, verse 24, where it says, "For I will take you out of the nations, I will gather you from all the countries, and I will bring you back into your own land." They remembered the promises from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 5, where it says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring me your sons from afar and your daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." And on May 14th, 1948, Israel was physically restored as a nation. Yet there still needs to take place what I call a spiritual restoration of Israel. The same chapter in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, actually the same chapter which we read earlier, chapter 36, I'm ahead of myself here, says in verse 25, talking about a future, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit, a ruach, my breath, blow into you. I will remove you from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit, my ruach, my breath in you and follow you, make you to follow my decrees and careful to keep my laws. You will live in the land I gave to your forefathers, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. But if you visit Israel today, there's the appearance of religious a religion everywhere. You see Judaism, you see Christianity, you see Islam. There seems to be religion everywhere, but there's an absence of true godliness and a relationship with God in the land. Religiosity has taken over the land of Israel, from the ultra-Orthodox Jews to the Muslims and Catholics to every imaginable abstract form of religion you find in the land today. As a result, many Israelis don't want to have anything to do with religion at all, have become very hardened and very secular due to the many struggles and the constant war that takes place. Their hearts have been hardened, and they don't want anything to do with religion. This is why native-born Israeli Jews are known as Sabras. And what are Sabras? The Sabra is a prickly pear wild cactus that you find growing in the land of Israel. And the allusion here is to a tenacious, thorny desert plant that has a very thick hide. But in the inside of that Sabra and that prickly pear, inside that thick, hardened shell, that hide of that Sabra, that fruit, conceals a sweet and a softer interior. That is tough on the outside and sweet and tender on the inside. And if you get to know Israelis, that's the truth. On the outside, they're tough and they're hard, but inside, they're tender and they're sweet and they're ripe to hear the good news, because most of them have become secular and hardened. This scripture in Ezekiel deals in a future context, a time where God will awaken his people to their sins and their detestable practices. This prophecy tells of God's promise to Israel to restore them to their land, first in unbelief, then later he will restore them to himself in a right and a perfect relationship. The whole following chapter, which is Ezekiel chapter 37, which includes what's known as the vision of the dry bones, points to more than one time period or more than one era in the future. No doubt the initial purpose or the meaning of Ezekiel chapter 37 was to encourage the restoration of the Jewish people from the dispersion in Babylon, the Babylonian captivity, which was going to be imminent. They were captives for 70 years, and after 70 years, they were free to be able to return to the land of Israel. However, the primary interpretation concerns another future restoration of Israel, which is borne out in Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 21 through 28. Here it speaks of a future spiritual and a territorial restoration of Israel, wherein the whole nation of Israel would participate in and enjoy what's known as the Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant, which is spoken about in Jeremiah chapter 31, 31 through 37. Now, Ezekiel 37, verse 22, speaks of one king over all of them. One king over all of the Jewish people, over all of Israel. Verse 24 says, "My servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd." Verse 25 of Ezekiel 37 says, "David, my servant, will be their prince forever. And I will make a covenant of shalom, of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant." And it goes on to say, "My dwelling place will be with them forever." Now, this scripture is speaking of a future messianic kingdom with Yeshua. I believe Yeshua ruling over them as the King of Kings, as a Melech HaMelechim, as a good shepherd of Israel, and as the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, establishing his covenant of peace with his people and the indwelling of the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, within us. We know that this spiritual restoration is yet to come, because later on in Ezekiel 39, verse 28, it says, "Then they will know that I am the Lord their God. For though I have sent them into exile among all the nations, I will gather them to their own land, not leaving any behind." Listen to this. "Not leaving any behind. I will no longer hide my face from them." As we learned from the book of Esther, how God's face was hidden. God will not hide his face from them anymore. For I will pour out my ruach, my spirit, on the house of Israel, declares the sovereign Lord. Now we know this is a future scripture, prophetic, because it says here, since there are still those who are left behind in the diaspora, like myself, I'm still here, Joshua's still here, others are still here, Donnie's still here, we're still left behind. So that means that this scripture has not yet been fulfilled, because it says here, I will gather them to the land, not leaving any behind. Where I'm left behind, others are left behind, so this is yet to be fulfilled. This clearly predicts the time of the regathering and the restoration of Israel in the future. Now in the book of Romans, chapter 9, verse 6, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, says, it is not as though God's word has failed. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, makes this statement in such a way that the conclusion is obvious and it's happy. No, God's word has not failed. No, God continues to have a plan and a purpose for his people, and it includes the acceptance of Yeshua HaMashiach, Yeshua the Messiah, as their Goel, as their Redeemer and the Restorer of Israel. In accordance to Romans 10, the next chapter, the Jewish people, as well as the other nations, the Goyim, the Gentiles, have to confess. And this is for all of us. We have to confess with our mouth that Yeshua is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead in order to be saved. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on his name. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now in the next chapter of Romans, chapter 11, and it's so important that all of us understand Romans 9, 10, and 11. These are messianic chapters. These are teaching us about the Jewish people. These are teaching us how God has a plan and purpose for the Jewish people, how God is going to restore the Jewish people, how God is going to save the Jewish people. And it's a call upon the other nations, the Goyim, the Gentile nations, to provoke the Jewish people to jealousy in order to bring about their salvation. And in Romans 11:11, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, states, and he says, again I ask, did they stumble or did they get off track or off path so as to fail beyond recovery? Not at all, he says. Rather, because of their transgressions, salvation has come to the Goyim, the Gentiles, the other nations, in order to make Israel envious or Israel jealous. God has brought salvation to all the nations of the world in order to make Israel envious. In other words, envious of a true relationship with God. This deliverance for all the other nations, the Goyim, is intended to fulfill the prophecy of Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 21, which is quoted in Romans 10, 19, that God will provoke Israel to jealousy by those who are not a nation. Provoke them to jealousy. Is that what the other nations are doing? Are the other nations provoking Israel to jealousy? No. Is the church, the overall church, is it provoking Israel to jealousy? No. In fact, it's the opposite. The other nations are turning against Israel. They're turning against Israel. They're creating with Israel a fear, an anger, a bitterness, as they come against and attack Israel, not provoking them to jealousy to the God of Israel. Are the churches provoking Israel to jealousy? No. The churches are voting against Israel. Churches are joining in the what's called as the BDS, the boycott, divest, and sanction against Israel. That's what churches are voting against Israel. In fact, it even came up this week as Hillary Clinton, of course, she's running for president. She is a Methodist, and a Methodist church has outright come against the nation of Israel as a church. They are boycotting buying any goods from Israel or investing in Israel, and they're voting to sanction Israel. And if she's coming against this, and she's a Methodist, telling them to stop this, that it's wrong. Now, I don't know if she's doing it just for votes or because she knows it's wrong. I hope that she's doing it for the right reason. But much of the church is coming against Israel. Are they provoking Israel to jealousy? No. They're turning them against the God of Israel. They're turning them to bitterness and anger. And we need to see the other nations and the church provoke Israel to jealousy. So as Rav Shaul said in Romans 11, that all Israel shall be saved. Romans 11:25 says, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening of the in part until the full number of Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. Now, what does this mean, the full complement of, or the fullness of the Gentiles? Rav Shaul here probably refers to not the number, the full complements of Gentiles to be saved throughout history, but to the breadth of representation. The fullness of the Gentile world comes in when all components and all subgroups of humanity are contributing people to the kingdom of God. And we see almost every people group in the world that has come to the God of Israel. So the fullness of the Gentiles are upon us now. Rav Shaul's prophecy, the Apostle Paul's prophecies, is being fulfilled before our very eyes at this very moment. The Gentiles are entering into their fullness now. All the nations, all the people groups. Evangelism has been worldwide for several centuries. Parts of the Bible have been translated into more than 2,000 languages. A quarter of the world's population count themselves as Christian. And although many unreached peoples remain, the breadth of representation has never been greater than it is now. So it's not surprising that with the rise of Messianic Judaism as a conscious worldwide movement within the Jewish people, we are starting to see all Israel saved. As you go to Israel today, there are numbers and numbers of Messianic Jewish congregations. You know, 30, 40 years ago, you could count on less than one hand, maybe less than that even, how many Messianic Jewish congregations were in Israel. Since the last 20 to 30 years, it's been growing more and more. And now there are, I can't even tell you how many Messianic congregations in Israel, at least 20, 30 Messianic congregations spread throughout the land of Israel, and Jewish people are being saved in large quantities. And I have the privilege to know many, if not most, of the Messianic leaders in the land, and they're doing a tremendous job in reaching out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. God is doing something great in the land. And as the time for Messiah's return near, God is preparing his people, the Jewish people worldwide, to receive Yeshua, his gift of salvation, the rock of our refuge. And God is inviting all of us who are here, both Jewish people and non-Jewish people, the Gentile people, to be instrumental parts of this great day, as the Apostle Paul spoke of in Romans 11:11, that all Israel shall be saved. Now I'm asking all of you here today, are you willing to do your part? Are you willing to reach out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel? Are you willing to commit your body, your soul, your spirit to seeing all Israel saved? I know that's a very cliche thing to say, oh yeah, I support Israel, I love the Jewish people, you know, I'm with them 100%, but when it comes down to it, do you really support them? If it comes down to a matter of persecution and suffering, and it comes down to having to go through trials and tribulations in order to stand with Israel and the Jewish people. Are you going to do that? Or are you going to tuck your tail between your legs and run? Are you going to support the Jewish people and say, as we saw in the video, Am Yisrael Chai, the people of Israel live? Are you going to stand with them, or are you going to turn against them? We saw that all during the Holocaust in Germany and Poland, all the other nations. Well, they didn't stand with Israel. They turned against the Jewish people. They joined in with the Nazis, and they allowed many Jewish people to suffer and die. There were a few, as we saw Irena Sendler in our video last week. We saw how there are those, and Oskar Schindler, and others who stood by no matter what the suffering and the persecution. But now we're coming to a whole world turning against Israel. Now are you willing to say, Am Yisrael Chai? The people of Israel live. Are you willing to stand with them and support them through thick and thin, even though it means suffering and persecution, possibly even dying for that cause? These are important things you need to think about. These are not just nice things. It's nice to come here, sing Messianic songs, dance to Messianic music, and hear teachings and all that. But when it comes down to it, are you standing with the nation of Israel? Will you stand with the nation of Israel? Father God, in the name of Yeshua, we just ask you, Lord, to speak into each one of our hearts today, that we, Lord, would be instrumental in reaching the lost sheep of the house of Israel, that we would not be ashamed, embarrassed, afraid in any way whatsoever, but we would stand up and say, we stand with you, Israel. We stand with the Jewish people. Reach out and see all Israel saved. Put that in our hearts, Father. Put that in our spirits. And we just ask, Lord, that you would bless the Jewish people throughout the dispersion, throughout the diaspora, wherever they are scattered in the world, and that you would bless and touch the land of Israel, protect them and guard them, Lord, and save them. And Lord, I thank you for all the righteous Gentiles, all those who stood with Israel, and those who stand with Israel today. We pray your blessing upon them, Lord. And we remember the words from Genesis chapter 12, I will bless them that bless you, I will curse those who curse you. Then and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.